Welcome to the Devi Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I'm your host, Skip Newton. With me is my co-host, Matt Cooper. Matt, it's been a couple of weeks since we did that rookie mock for two rounds. How do you feel about a 2025 Devi mock for one round?
Yeah, let's do it, man. I love mock drafts, and I actually found this to be a really helpful exercise as we did it. I'm excited to talk about this stuff, because there were some things, even as a Devi guy that studies this stuff pretty closely, that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's one of those things where we know everybody is really wrapped up in rookie talk, and rightfully so. You and I are consumed by it as well. Obviously, we are podcasting on the Rookie Big Board, so that is the focus. But I'm seeing more and more people ask questions about, you know, what about 2025? What's the value there? And so we thought it would be helpful to just talk about the 2025 class and just do a one round mock so we can talk about the prospects without having to be worried about time. And we're going to do that. And if just to refresh everyone's memory before we get into that, the two round mock, the first round for rookies in 2024, we had four quarterbacks, obviously the stud tight end that is Brock Bowers. And then the rest were wide receivers. So no running backs in that first round. And I think when you listen to other people do their mocks, the earliest you're seeing a running back is at the end of the first. So that's a fairly consistent thing that we've seen throughout the rookie, you know, discourse so far. And, you know, we're in the middle of March.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this rookie running back class coming up next year, I mean, this is kind of a little bit of a spoiler. I think it's really strong. Even if you look at a lot of the most productive, like top rushers in the nation last year, very few of them are leaving for the pros this season, right? Like even some of the most productive, I mean, Bucky Irving, I love Bucky Irving. He kind of barely cracked 1,000 yards. Blake Corum, he had a ton of touchdowns, but he barely cracked 1,000 yards. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot. Most of the top rushers in the nation are still in college, and there's probably at least four or five guys that we took in this 2025 mock that I think would be my RB1 if they were in this year's class.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into those guys in just a second. Like we're doing here, trying to get you ahead of everybody by talking about 2025, we want you to get ahead of your league mates with in-depth and consistently updated rookie rankings, supporting Dynasty and Devi rankings, the 2024 Rookie Guide, and access to the RBB Discord, where you can get personalized trade, draft, and roster construction advice. The Rookie Big Board is a proven resource that was way ahead of everyone else on Justin Jefferson, identified Puka Nacua as the best sleeper prospect of 2023, and helped patrons get great fantasy football value on Justin Herbert, CeeDee Lamb, Chris Olave, Sam Laporta, and many more. You can get access to the Rookie Big Board resources for as low as $5 a month, or save 15% with an annual subscription. That is cheaper than what I'm willing to pay to get Justin Jefferson to sign a contract right now, so these morons who keep throwing out these stupid trade ideas on X/Twitter will just stop. He's not going to get traded, guys. Stop it right now.
Did you see Jason, All-Purpose Scout, had tweeted out the, you know, what if he goes to Cincinnati and he reunites with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase? And I was like, it'd be fun for real life. I don't know about fantasy-wise with them kind of cannibalizing each other. Although the last time they played on the same team, I think both guys went over 1,500 yards receiving, so that was pretty good.
Yeah.
In college. But
in college, but I just – yeah, I don't see it happening. The only way I could see it happening is if the result is a franchise quarterback, and that ain't happening with the Cincinnati Bengals. They don't have a pick in the top three, so I think we can forget about that. All right, so this draft kicks off, again, just the guys that are 2025 eligible, and we know that will change between now and next year. We know some guys are going to stick in college that you don't expect, but this is what we know right now, so kick it off with your 101.
Yeah, so I went with Luther Burden from Missouri, and this is actually funny because I did a Devi mock with Matt Hicks one of the weeks that you were out, and I know you listened to that, and I was on the spot. He gave me the 101 there too. And I was like, oh, this is so hard. And I ended up taking Tet McMillan, who I love. And I was like, this time I was like, oh, who do I take? I'm on the spot. Oh, I'll go with Luther Burden. It really is like such a toss up for me right now, because I love both of those guys. They've both been incredibly productive in college. They've both dominated, been go-to wide receivers on their team. And yeah, it's really hard for me to decide between those two, but for this mock, at least I went with Luther Burden out of Missouri.
Yeah. You can't go wrong there. And you already, you know, spoiled it for me, but sorry, this made my pick very easy. I did just jump all over Tet McMillan, you know, 6'4", 185. I mean, had a brilliant season a year ago. He's got an ADOT of over 16 yards. He's a vertical threat. That was in 2022. Great ball skills. He's physical. I loved not only everything we saw last year, but the progression. He just seems to keep getting better and better and more dominant. And so, yeah, Tet McMillan was easy for me here.
Yeah, and I felt the same way, you know, just in terms of the progression, obviously from Luther Burden. Like his freshman year, I was like, okay, yeah, he's a gadgety. He's great after the catch, but can he run routes? Can he earn a high volume of targets? This year he comes out, he puts up 1,200 yards receiving in the SEC. And I mean, just week in, week out dominance. So yeah, tons of progression from Burden as well. And hopefully that just continues. These guys are both extremely athletically gifted, talented kids. And it's great to see that they're also working hard and developing their craft on top of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think my pick at 102 of McMillan probably made your pick at 103 maybe one of the most predictable mock picks in the history of Devi mocks. If anybody has listened to you ever for the last couple of years, this one is pretty much a slam dunk. I almost wrote it in for you.
Yeah, that's right. I took Evan Stewart, now out of Oregon. So I love the kid. There is, to me, like I'm still tempted to put him first out of this group because I had him as my wide receiver one in the class for a long, long time. And I think at this point that would be almost irresponsible just because of how much more the other two guys have proven. And he had 514 yards receiving last year on just 38 receptions. It was pretty underwhelming, honestly, in a lot of ways. And he started off the season hot. He and Wegman had chemistry. He seemed like he was going off every week. But part of that was non-conference play. It was weak competition. And then they get into the meat of that SEC schedule and Connor Wegman gets hurt and he was throwing up some duds, man. I mean, like 2 catches, 50 yards, 1 catch, 8 yards, 4 catches, 48 yards, 3 for 46. Like these are not stat lines that you want to write home about. And I know we don't box score scout, but when you're comparing them to two guys that just put up like monster 1,000-yard plus seasons and that's what you can do, I can't put you ahead of those guys, no matter what the reasoning and the excuses might be. But all that being said, he's so talented, man. Just the flashes that I've seen on tape of just filthy route running, incredible release off press coverage, just absolutely breaking guys' ankles at the stem of the route, great ball skills, going up, getting it in traffic. You got the 5-star pedigree. His freshman season in terms of production as a true freshman, you could put it up against the best of the best, and he's going to stack up right there with them. So there's still a lot that I love about Evan Stewart, and I think he's in a much better situation going to Oregon, playing with Gabe Davis. Not Gabe Davis. What's his first name? The guy that just transferred in from Oklahoma. You know who I'm talking about. I'm totally having a brain fart on this. Gabe Davis is a wide receiver.
It'll hit me. I know.
Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel. There you go.
It's like backwards. It's like the DG instead of the GD. But anyway. Yeah, Dylan Gabriel throwing him the football. I think Dylan Gabriel is a really good college quarterback, much better than anything that Evan Stewart has played with up to this point, outside of maybe those couple weeks of a healthy Connor Wegman to start this year. But anyway, I think wheels up. I'm really hoping that Evan Stewart kind of revives his stock, but you're right. It was an easy pick for me at 103.
Well, and would you say he's still tier one with these other two guys for you?
I want him to be, but I don't know if I can, just based on everything that I just said about just the way he disappointed as a sophomore. I think at the end of the this season, if you tell me he's tier one, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I think he's kind of got to get back on that football field and earn it and prove it at this point. Because when I think about a tier, I think, how many times out of 10 would I take this guy over that guy? And so, like, if I'm sitting in 10 drafts, I might take 50-50 Luther Burden and Tet McMillan. But 0 out of 10 times am I taking Evan Stewart over either one of those guys at this point, based on what they've shown. So I think I would have to put him in a tier behind them, as much as that pains me to say it.
All right. I like that. That's a great way to put it. And I'm going to stick with wide receiver, and people might be wondering, hey, what about Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State? Kind of the forgotten guy, because he stayed in college and chose to go back. He's got all the physical traits you want. I mean, 6'1", 205, five-star pedigree. He's had really good seasons with Ohio State in that offense, with obviously talent around him, you know, not being the alpha receiver really any of his years. So maybe he's looking for that. Of course, he's going to continue to get pressure in that regard, because Ohio State just keeps bringing in the top guys, and, you know, we'll talk about them in future episodes. But I still think he's a guy that definitely has first round talent written all over him. And I think what he's shown us thus far, and what he will continue to show us, Egbuka, for me, it was an easy pick here, even though I was tempted to pivot to running back, but just thought, you know what, I can't let him slide. I think in your logic that you just used a bit ago, if I'm sitting in this position more often than not, I'm just going to take Egbuka and feel really good about it.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing with Egbuka, like I just mentioned, that Evan Stewart had a really disappointing year with 514 yards. Well, Egbuka had 515. So he beat him by 1 yard. It was a pretty disappointing season. There's a reason he went back to school. Of course, we're not in those conversations. We don't know what kind of grades he was getting from NFL teams. He would probably come out and say, well, I just wanted to beat Michigan, or, you know, I don't know what he would say. But I think probably he went back to school in large part because his draft stock was down. But I definitely still think it's a good pick, and he's a talented guy, and he's definitely a prime candidate for a bounce back season, just like Stewart is. So good pick there. I made the first maybe spicy pick of the draft here at 105. I took Trevor Etienne from now at Georgia, been at Florida, running back. And I don't think he's most people's RB1, but he is for me. I'm going to go ahead and just plant my flag. Even as I was, you know, I do cut-ups for the Dynasty Nerds film room. And as I was cutting up Ricky Pearsall these last couple weeks, every single Florida game that I cut up, Trevor Etienne just popped off the page. It was like, wow. Like, because they would alternate even like offensive series between him and Montrell Johnson. And it was like, you didn't even have to see the number on the back of the jersey to know when they switched from Montrell Johnson to Trevor Etienne, because the difference in explosiveness was so eye popping. And he's got good size too. He's elusive. He can do a little bit of pass catching. I love, every time I watch Trevor Etienne play, I just feel like, man, he looks like a difference making running back, an NFL caliber, like elite traits type of running back. And so there's a lot of good running backs in this class. We're about to talk about a lot of them. It's not like he's like my far and away slam dunk RB1. But at this point, gun to my head, I got to pick one of them. I would take Trevor Etienne. I just think he's got NFL traits all over his film. And he's going to, this time next year, people are going to be salivating over this dude, especially playing in this Georgia offense with this offensive line. Like, if Kendall Milton and Dejon Edwards can produce big numbers in this Georgia offense, look out when Trevor Etienne gets in there on a big national stage. He's going to be playing in playoff games. Like, the hype train on Trevor Etienne is about to take off, and I would encourage you to get in on the ground level, because he's a beast.
Yeah, you say spicy. I say great pick. Honestly, when you put that down, I was like, oh man, that's a great pick. And I think, you know, as we talked about more of these running backs, we're going to get into, you know, definitely guys that other people will like more or less. But he's tier one for me. And I have absolutely no problem with that, because I see everything that you're talking about. The burst, the ability to make people miss, the acceleration, it is all there. And like you said, he's got NFL size, and love the transfer to Georgia. I think he's just gonna eat in that offense and really be showcased as much as a Georgia running back will be showcased, because they do like to spread it around. But I have no problem with that. Speaking of offenses that are probably going to spread it around to the running backs, going back to the Ohio State Buckeyes, I'll take Travion Henderson, maybe the forgotten guy, because surprisingly came back to school, probably wants to team up with Egbuka to beat Michigan. Like you said, I still love the talent. And I think when he's healthy, he looks every bit like he could very well be the RB1 in this class, you know, right up there with your guy and my guy ETN. So I have no problem with Travion Henderson here. I feel like that might even be proven later to be a bit of a steal, but at 106, I think he can do it all. He can be that back that gets to the NFL and gets, you know, the lion's share of the work, and could be an awesome fantasy guy because he's so explosive.
Yeah, I love the pick. He would have been my clear RB1 if he'd come out in this class. I also was surprised that he didn't, just because it was a weaker class, and I felt like he was just tiers ahead of everybody else that is left. But yeah, I mean, he's got the size, he's got the explosiveness, he's got some pass catching chops. He definitely is a guy that can be a three down back at the next level. He's got that kind of star running back potential and upside that really nobody in this year's draft class has. So both of these guys that we've just taken, ETN and Travion Henderson, to me would be easily the RB1 if they were in this year's draft class.
I agree 100%. All right, we're going to discuss the remaining picks in just a minute. But first, I want to make sure you know that the Rookie Big Board is now partnered with Underdog Fantasy Football. This is the best app for fantasy contests. They are running daily contests for the NBA, NHL, and more. You can join the RBB crew on Underdog by using the promo code RBB. It will get you a 100% match on your first deposit and help us grow. All right, let's go to the back half of the first round. 107, Matt. Are you sticking with the running back trend?
Yeah, so I'm taking another running back that also would be my RB1 if he was in this year's class, and that's Quinshon Judkins. The dude has done nothing but ball out since he came in as a 3-star pedigree, so not a highly ranked recruit, with Zach Evans, who was a very, very highly touted guy, in the same backfield, basically stole the lead job as a true freshman, put up ridiculous numbers in the SEC, came back out as a sophomore, did it all again. And now he is transferring. This was a little bit of a surprise. He's transferring to Ohio State after back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And he was the bell cow. He was the every down, the workhorse, you know, whatever you want to call it. Now he's going to be sharing a backfield with Travion Henderson. I don't know if he wants to get a little less tread on the tires, a little bit more national exposure playing at a school like Ohio State that's going to be probably competing for a national championship. I don't know what all factored in that decision. When he first said he was transferring there, I thought, okay, this for sure seals it that Travion Henderson's going to declare for the draft. And then he didn't. So it's going to be really interesting watching these two guys share a backfield together this year. But I have seen some really high level traits out of Judkins. And I know some people will reference like, oh, it was just a volume guy. He only got 4.3 yards a carry last year, which is true. He had 5.7 yards of carry as a true freshman and almost 1,600 yards. So, yeah, it was a down sophomore year, but he still rushed for over 1,000, 15 touchdowns, got a little bit more involved as the receiver in his sophomore season. So I've seen enough traits out of this guy. He's big. He's strong. He's got great contact balance. He's fast. Maybe not the most elusive guy. Hips maybe a little stiff, but he's really fast in a straight line. I think he's got really good vision. He wasn't asked to do a ton of receiving, but when he was, he looked like he had soft hands and looked natural doing it. So enough traits there for me to go ahead and say, yeah, I'm going to take him here at 107. He feels like the most proven thing left on the board.
I like it. I like that a lot. And I actually didn't have any hesitation whatsoever at 108. continuing the running back trend, I'm going with Devin Neal out of Kansas. And I think people might dismiss him more than some of these other guys because he's at Kansas, you know, whether they're just not watching or paying enough attention. But if you pay attention to what this guy puts on film, he's got the traits that I like. I mean, he's solid as far as his athleticism, his ability to, you know, use good footwork to make plays. He's had 52 receptions, so he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I feel good about that. You know, he's not the perfect prospect by any stretch, but I do like his athleticism and his burst and acceleration. There's some other things that, you know, maybe he needs to get a little bit more, you know, more skilled in vision, you know, just finding the right hole. I think also the play strength, like being able to mm-hmm. the contact balance is something that he can improve on as well. But I think he's shown enough where he would definitely be in the conversation for one of the top RBs if he had chosen to come out this year, because he did go back to school. He was 2024 eligible. So Devin Neal here feels like a good pick for me.
Yeah, he would have been a top three running back in this class for me, but again, in a weaker class. He doesn't have quite as much size as some of these other guys that we're talking about. Like you said, play strength is a little bit of a concern. But he's shown some really good flashes in the receiving game. He has absolutely like jaw dropping, put his foot in the ground, make a dead leg cut, explode out of it, leave a guy laying on the ground behind him. So definitely, like you said, some high level traits. And I would have liked him a lot had he come out this year. So I'm totally in agreement with that pick. And this is where things at 109 started to get pretty tough for me. Honestly, because I'm looking at these guys and I'm going, oh, wait, like I thought they would have, I didn't think I would be considering him in the first round. I thought he would have been like maybe a second round pick. But then I'm just like, oh, but I don't love who's left. And so I'll just compare this. When I was, this was in the 2022 draft cycle, I was doing a way too early 2023 rookie mock. For Dynasty Nerds, I was writing up an article. It was just a first round, just exactly the same exercise that we're doing tonight, except it was for an article instead of a podcast. And I had zero trouble just ripping off 12 names, you know, Bijan Robinson, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, like just absolutely ripping through names. And then, you know, the draft came around and even more guys came out of the woodwork. Anthony Richardson was not on my radar when I made that article. And so the class continued to get more and more loaded, but here we are a few years later and we're doing this exercise and we're at 109 and I'm like, oh man, I feel like I'm like fishing for somebody to draft here. And there's no quarterbacks that we've taken yet. So like, this is a super flex mock that we're doing. We're at 109. We haven't taken a quarterback. And I'm not going to take one here because I'm like, okay, history tells me the NFL is going to take somebody in the first round. Like, I can't remember the last time that there wasn't a first round quarterback. And so whoever that is, maybe it's even a couple guys, they're going to get boosted up. They're going to be high up in these super flex drafts this time next year. But I have no idea who that's going to be. I mean, I could say, okay, well, you know, maybe it'll be Quinn Ewers, although I doubt it. I could say, okay, maybe it'll be Carson Beck. You know, there's some things I like on his tape. Maybe it'll be Connor Wegman, you know, because he showed a few nice things before he got hurt this year, and he's got that five-star pedigree. You know, maybe somebody like a Drew Allar will turn it around. But I don't feel confident at all. Maybe it'll be a Shedeur Sanders. There's not a single guy that I feel confident projecting and saying, yeah, this guy's going to be a first round pick next year and I feel great about it. So I'm like, all right, I'll wait and see how it plays out, but there's not a single guy that I'm ready to go out and gamble on and give up a bunch to bet on him and Debbie. I just don't love any of these guys. So that's a really long-winded. I haven't even told you my pick yet. I'm taking Ashton Jaunte from Boise State. And this is a guy that has good size. He plays in a smaller conference, looks absolutely electric every time he touches the ball. So if you haven't watched him, go watch Ashton Jaunte. His highlights are just insane. So he definitely looks like he's got some NFL traits. He's got some ridiculous production. I'm projecting him to be a big riser this year. One of these names that like – nobody really is talking about right now, but this time next year, we're getting into the all 22 and we're breaking down the rookies and everybody's going, wow, I really like this Ashton Johnsy kid. So this one is more of a flag plant for me. Probably most people would say it's a reach, but actually shout out to our old co-host, Dwight Peebles, who is the one that first got him on my radar. I remember we were on this show. You were out that week, Skip, and he said something about Ashton Johnsy. And I said, who is that? I've never even heard of that guy. And he said, look into him. So I did. And I was like, wow, this guy is pretty impressive. So shout out Dwight Peebles.
We miss you. Nice. Well, and yeah, big time. I like this because my guess is he's available in every Devy league you're in. So every year when I do, you know, my Devy drafts that in leagues that are returning, right? It's not a startup. There's always that constant decision of, do I take the flashy new incoming freshman, mm-hmm. or do I take the guy that's already looked good in college, but he wasn't the big name, so he's still available. And in this class, this is the first guy that we've talked about that fits that criteria. Johnsy, I'm guaranteeing you he's available in your Devy league. So I've made the mistake in the past of just going for the incoming freshman or the guy that's farther away from the NFL. And I usually end up regretting that. And in a couple leagues, that regret has a name to it, and it's Malik Nabers. So yep. I'm not saying he's going to be an obvious first round pick. I'm just saying you have to consider the player that's already looked good in college. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying this is one that, you're right, people need to look into him if they haven't already.
Yeah. And like, I mean, not to belabor the point, but we don't get a lot of all 22 on these guys when they're Devy players. We get it rookie season. That's when it becomes available and we start really studying these prospects. And who knows, maybe I get to the all 22 next year with Johnsy and I'm like, okay, yeah, he has some flashy explosive plays, but maybe there's warts that I'm not seeing right now. That could be true with any of these guys. But to me, like when we see somebody pop NFL level traits that make you go, wow, as a college player, I think that's who you want to invest in more than a guy that once had a 5-star pedigree, more than a guy that plotted his way to 1500 yards on volume. You know, because people can really chase this college production and it doesn't always translate. So for me, when I'm watching and I see NFL level traits just jumping off the film at me, I'm like, all right, this is a guy that I think when he's a rookie, people are going to be salivating over him. So I'm going to go ahead and take a chance on that guy. And Ashton Johnsy is one of those for me.
I like that. I like that a lot. At 110, I'm taking Antoine Wells Jr., wide receiver, South Carolina. I'm sure you know him well, being that you are down in that neck of the woods. This is a physical, strong-handed, really good route runner as far as a wide receiver goes. We're talking, you know, 6'1", 205 pounds. I think he looks and plays bigger than that. Like when I was a little surprised that he was only, you know, in the low 200s. Like, man, this guy looks just stronger, and he will get yards after the catch. Like I said, he runs good routes. I like all that. Very good yards after the catch. Like I said, I think he has enough acceleration to exploit, you know, the open field. He's not going to be the deep guy burner, but I'm okay with that as long as a guy knows how to run a good route and get open. And I think he fits that bill. So I like him here at the 110. And I think he's probably another guy that is available in most leagues.
Yeah. Kind of a forgotten man. Brandon Lejeune, I think, had him as a top three wide receiver in this loaded 2024 class coming into this college season. Shout out to Brandon. That's kind of how Wells got on my radar. It was like, oh, wow, you know, he's really planting a flag on this guy. So I need to take a look. And I think if he had not spent pretty much the entire season hurt, this is a name we would have been talking about right now in this loaded 2024 class. So yeah, I like grabbing him at 110. And for me at 111, I went with I went against my my NC State fandom. I took a Tar Heel. I went with Omarion Hampton from UNC. So he's a running back. He put up last year 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. And he did it at 220 pounds. And I'll just say that when I was studying, again, doing the cut-ups for the Dynasty Nerds, I cut up a bunch of Drake May games this year. And every time I was cutting up a Drake May game, Omarion Hampton jumped off the film to me. For being a big-bodied, 220-pound guy, he's got some speed to his game. And he played like he was 220 pounds. He's not one of these big guys that plays soft. He was lowering the boom on people, dropping the truck stick, playing with a lot of great power. So, I debated. There's a couple other running backs I'll just mention because we didn't take any of them in this mock. But I debated Ollie Gordon here, who ran for 1,700 yards at Oklahoma State last year. I debated Damian Martinez here, who has back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and is 230 pounds and looks really fleet of foot for 230 pounds. So this running back class, man. I mean, coming from a year where you mentioned we didn't have any, we might not have a single running back go in the first round of a super flex draft, which I don't think I've ever seen that in my time playing Dynasty.
Right.
That you could go through a whole first round and not draft a running back. And that might happen this year. We just took seven of them, or are going to take, I guess I'm spoiling, your pick is going to be a running back, make 7 out of 12. And there's a couple more that we could have taken and didn't. So this is a weak quarterback class. I think we're seeing that very clearly here. There's some big question marks at wide receiver after the top three of Burden, McMillan, Stewart, I guess four if you include Abuka. Which you should. So really there's a teardrop after these kind of elite top four wide receivers. There's no quarterbacks we feel great about. There's not a single tight end that we're considering here, but man, this running back class next year looks pretty special in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I'm finishing it off with a running back, and some people might be surprised. We haven't talked about him before, you know, Nicholas Singleton, you know, running back at Penn State, is my pick, the final pick here in the first round. And he's a guy that came out as the number one rated running back in his class, in this class, and looked every bit the part his freshman season. I mean, just exploded onto the scene, over 1,000 yards, averaged almost 7 yards a carry, 12 touchdowns. He caught 11 passes, another score there. And you saw all the acceleration, the size speed combination, the burst, everything you wanted to see from this guy. And you're like, man, once again, the number one running back in the class looks amazing. You know, the incoming freshman class. Well, then his sophomore year last year was a bit of a disappointment. I mean, the yards were down, the yards per carry were down. The only thing that went up were his receptions and his receiving numbers. So that was encouraging, but I want to see that explosive, you know, burst and him just making plays all over the field when he gets the opportunity. And I know he's sharing time with Catron Allen, another guy that, you know, we could have taken in the first round, but I still am not ready to give up on the talent here because I think he's that good. And so Maybe this proves to be another steal at the end of the first round. We'll see at this point, but I think of all the guys, he has maybe the highest upside when compared to where we're picking him, right? Like he could really vault up this list where we're going to have the same conversation when we're doing our rookie mock and we can make fun of each other. Like, hey, remember when we let Singleton get to 112? Well, here you go. But I think there's a great opportunity here. So I'm willing to gamble with the last pick in the first round on Singleton.
Yeah. And you know, that could very well be the case. And he did show enough as a true freshman. I'm not totally out on the guy. I think what you're saying is totally in the realm of possibilities. I think this is a gamble that could absolutely pay off. That being said, I mean, he got more carries this year than he did his true freshman year, but he got 250 less yards, actually 300 less yards. 4.4 yards a carry is pretty abysmal. Now, that Penn State offense as a whole was pretty atrocious, but whenever I watched Singleton play, it was like, dude, you're just running straight into the back of your offensive lineman, like, and hoping that there's a hole that opens up. Like, I didn't see any vision. I didn't really see a lot of elusiveness. I just saw a guy who's big and fast. And to me, that's not that exciting. So, I mean, I'm not even sure that he's better than his teammate, Catron Allen, who averaged over 5 yards a carry in the same offense on less touches. So, you know, in terms of when those two guys were on the field, I thought, like, wow, Nick Singleton looks like an athlete. Catron Allen looks like a running back. So that there's some development, I think, that's needed for Singleton. And where I was hoping he would take a step forward from freshman to sophomore year, it felt like he actually might have taken a step. I mean, statistically, he took a major step backwards. I don't know if he actually got worse as a player or if the offense got worse. I don't know what attributed to it, but he took a big step backwards. And I need to see more from him this year. And if I don't, this is going to be a guy that, like, a lot of Devy, one of the worst things, one of the more frustrating things for me being a Devy guy is just watching the way the Devy community will not let go sometimes. Like, they latch onto a guy because he was a five-star prospect and he produced early, and they just, like, cling to it to their deaths. Like, I remember Isaiah Spiller a couple years ago, like, you know, people actually started getting into the All-22 and going, hey, this guy's actually not that good. He's not that fast. There's not a lot of NFL traits here. And Devy people would be in your comments section, like, eating you alive for not liking Isaiah Spiller. And they took it to their grave because the NFL said, yeah, he's a plotter, day three guy, hasn't seen the field. And I mean, Zach Evans, you could go on and on down the list.
Yep.
Nick Singleton, if he doesn't prove it to me this year, I'm going to be totally out. And there are going to be some Devy people that are going to still be clinging on for dear life. And I think that they might go down with the ship. So I've got bust watch on Nick Singleton as a former five-star guy that he needs to show me something this year.
Yep. That's totally fair. And I remember when his name came up, you know, right before we hit record, you used the word underwhelming. And I think that's a perfect description of his season a year ago. So he definitely needs to bounce back. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you have not already, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on whichever podcast app you are using. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss any of the RBB action. I will do a quick programming note to all. We are both out next week, and I am also out the week after that. Got a spring break trip planned for my senior and his group of friends and family. So the next 2 weeks I am out. And then when it's go time and I get back, it'll probably be mostly rookie talk until the draft, because we are getting close. It's getting exciting. So looking forward to that, sir. Any final thoughts quick?
No, nah, man. We'll miss you. We'll see you in a couple weeks. And enjoy your vacation, man.
All right, will do. Thank you very much, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Talk to all of you later. Thanks again for listening. Have a good one, everyone.